Welcome to Creating Sanctuary, a global interview series featuring 21 heroes who are saving animals' lives. I'm your host, Yolanda Calderon, and the hero that I'm so excited to interview today is Carol Rathman. She's the founder and director of Forget Me Not Farm in Santa Rosa, California. She's got more than 45 years' experience in humane education and animal welfare, and she holds a master's degree in psychology and works with both animals and children in need. She's the recipient of many national awards, recognizing her for her innovative work in the prevention of child and animal abuse. Welcome, Carol. I'm so glad you could join us.
Oh, I'm honored. Actually, I'm really honored to be a part of your interviews and excited to talk about our program.
Thank you so much. So first of all, tell us about how you got started with the animals on your farm, and then how did you start to incorporate work with animals and children?
Well, long ago, in 1989, I started working at the Humane Society of Sonoma County after 20 years of working in veterinary large animal practice. So I did a switch from working with large animals to small animals. And because of the location, which is semi-rural, I noticed right away there would be a place for large animals if we wanted. And so what happened is I was the shelter manager and managing their veterinary services. I realized that we were seeing a lot of the same people over and over again who weren't taking good care of their animals. And so that was kind of the beginning of a thought for me to figure out how we could teach people to better care for their animals. And so I really was looking at children that were at risk of not taking good care of their animals, because I thought it might be easier to change their habits than it would be for adults, and to bring them to the shelter and show them some ways to care for animals. And so typically that is done with small animals and with dogs, but because I had this really a big love for farm animals and I missed them and we had this space, it occurred to me that it might be a good use of my skills. And it might be good for the kids coming out to be around animals that were different than dogs and animals that were challenging to the kids to learn how to care for, animals that might be, in some cases, a little scary to the kids, because I really wanted them to learn from the animals, and I didn't want them to dominate the animals. I wanted them to be respectful. It's really one of the things that we're teaching all of the kids. So we started out using farm animals, and that was over 25 years ago, and we're still using farm animals.
So it's like you're addressing the root causes of animal cruelty and neglect by addressing children when they're still young and they can learn empathy and compassion.
Really, we are. We're looking at the population that we're serving are children that have substantiated reports of abuse and neglect. One of the things that was happening in 1992 when we started the program was a recognition of the cycle of abuse, and that those at the time there was a lot of buzz about serial killers all had histories of animal abuse, and
right.
I don't know that they all did, but a high enough percentage of them did. And so starting to understand that whole cycle of abuse and how animal abuse is connected to other human abuse, domestic violence, and all of those others, and understanding that that was cyclical. So kids raised in violent homes are going to be at greater risk of violent behaviors than kids that weren't. So really looking at that population and seeing if we could teach them some skills with the animals that were going to make a difference in their behavior. So that really is, that's why we took that population, to give them opportunities to learn kindness and gentleness, which they hadn't had opportunities to learn before, and see if we could break that cycle of abuse. And one other thing, I want to mention this because it just came up as kind of interesting, a little more contemporary, that we're seeing that school shooters, 40%, over 40% of the school shooters since 1988 have histories of animal cruelty as well. So I think our work is really important in taking those children that would end up on that violent scale and trying to teach them some empathy and kindness and gentleness skills.
Oh, that's such a difficult topic, and yet it's such important work. So thank you for approaching it. I've also heard that it's important for children to develop a sense of empathy or compassion by or around the age of 7. Can you address that? Is that a myth?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of discussion about brain development. You know, I don't believe brain development stops when a child is 5. I do think that our window of opportunity gets lower as children approach, I would say more like a 12-year-old than a 7-year-old, and also depending upon what sort of behaviors they are developing. But I will say that we work with kids between 3 and 18, and so I do see empathy developing in the teens. I definitely see it in the teens. So I think they have the ability to learn that skill, I think, almost at any age. So it's just kind of figuring out how to teach them that in a way that they can feel good about it and absorb it.
What are the similarities between the children in your program and the animals?
So the animals in the program are, for the most part, they're all rescued animals. They have a lot of similarities between, there's a lot of similarities between the kids and the animals. The animals that have been neglected by their guardians or their owners, animals that have been abused by them, and a lot of just owners who had them and then suddenly couldn't take care of them. And so there's a lot of, I think, a lot of similarities between their backgrounds and the kids' backgrounds, and it's not missed by the kids, especially some of the older kids. They will get it. They will see animals. Everybody's always curious. This week we brought in 2 new animals. So there's a lot of curiosity about who they are and where they came from. And some of the older kids will comment that it's similar to their background. The other thing is, the other comment that we get from kids when we've done a rescue like that, where we've saved an animal that's had an abusive background, is that it gives them hope for the future. And so they can generalize that, what's going on with their interactions with the animals, to what's going on in their life. And I do think it does give them hope.
And so the children in your program have come from abusive situations. How do you find them?
Well, sadly, there's plenty of them. We have, since we started this program, we've always worked with kids in groups. And so we started out with working with 4 kids that were in a special therapeutic preschool under the umbrella of the YWCA, which mission is to empower women and eliminate domestic violence and child abuse. So we already, you know, we partnered with agencies that are already working with those populations, and didn't take very long for the word to spread that this was a happy, magical place for kids. And so we have, we don't have to recruit kids. We have referrals from probably close to 17 different agencies in our county who serve that population of children that have either been removed from their homes or have substantiated reports of abuse and neglect.
Oh, my goodness. So the animals interacting with the children. I love the part on your website where you profile the animals, and there's a llama, for example, who is a little bit standoffish and kind of wants to walk away when people approach him. And so you use this as a teachable moment for the kids where, you know, that one just wants to be left alone and you should wait for him to walk up to you. Can you talk a little bit more about the special characteristics of those animals and interactions?
Yeah, we do. We don't always have the opportunities to select the animals that come. Some of our animals just kind of show up on our front porch. But we try and have animals that will be teaching those lessons to the kids. So we have kids that have been sexually abused and kids that have been physically abused. What we want to teach them is that it's okay to take time to build a relationship. It is okay to walk away from a relationship. It is not okay to force yourself into a relationship, and that you can have relationships with different people that look different. some more gregarious than others and some a little more aloof than others. And so with the wide variety of animals that we have, it's easy to see that that's happening with the kids. So for instance, we have a horse in the program, Reno, who we always talk about him as being like the black lab of the farm. He's really friendly. He loves everyone. He will nuzzle the kids' necks and kind of with his little velvety nose, he'll rub their cheeks and give them kisses, and he's very, very sweet. And it's great for the kids. They don't have to work at a relationship with him. Right away they know that he likes them, and that's really important for them to have that sense of an animal liking them or somebody liking them. And then the opposite of that, the other extreme, would be the llamas, who are a lot less domestic than a horse. Takes quite a while to build a relationship with them. We have two llamas, and they've been here for years, years and years and years. And one of them will come up and let a child pet him, but the other one just stands there watching. And so for me, it's really an important lesson for the kids to know that it is okay for it to take a long time to build a relationship. Not every relationship happens instantly, and not every relationship is going to be healthy and it's going to be okay. So one of the things that we do with the animals, they all have a different personality and they have different ways that they react and work with the children, but we don't put halters on them. We don't force any kind of interaction. So if, for instance, the llama comes up and just wants to watch a child, that's what happens. And we won't let the children, you know, chase after them and try and get them to interact with them. At the same time, you have animals that, like the Reno, the horse, that will come up and wants to interact with the kids right away. The llama presents a challenge to the kids that really want to have a relationship with her. They work really hard, and, you know, they'll be calm and they'll be persistent to try and get that llama to come around them. And so I just think that it generalizes into our relationships with people, and what we really want to teach these children that have had betrayals by adult relationships, if a relationship doesn't feel good, it's okay to walk away. And so the llama teaches that really well. Like, I'm not really walking away from this, but I'm not going to get really close to you until I really feel like I can trust you and that I'm comfortable with you.
That is so wonderful. You know, I've seen adults interacting with animals, and they could use those lessons too sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I heard that you are in the beginning stages of using a program called HeartMath, which I am a HeartMath coach, and I use it in my wellness coaching. And I'm so excited that you're beginning to use it. And could you share with us how you plan on applying it to the animals or the children or both?
Yes, yes. So because we've been doing this program for so long, you know, we're always challenged by funders and other people for outcomes. You know, what are your measured outcomes? What are you doing? How can you prove that this is working with the children? And, you know, it's we have done some studies, but it's all, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And so it's really hard to come up with one specific thing. But one of the things we're looking at, particularly one of our staff members, Nate, has been wanting to do is sort of looking at the physiology of what's going on when the kids, when they're here. We know we can see in them that they're relaxing and starting to feel better in the presence of animals, but we haven't figured out a way to measure it. And we're also challenged. Our kids are all in protective custody, so we have to be really careful about how we would go about doing that. And so we met someone from HeartMath, and I'll tell you, one of the first things that I was really excited about is that they're using that they're doing measurements on the animals. So that part was really exciting.
Yeah.
So when you're doing an animal-assisted therapy program, there's always a fear that comes out from people that you're putting too much stress on the animal. And so the HeartMath technique of measuring sort of what's going on with the child at the same time as you're doing the animal, what sort of connection they're having, mm-hmm. that coherence that happens when they're together.
Yes.
It's like, for me, that's just magical, because I think that I can see that. I mean, I can see it, and we've done some videos, and you can kind of see, even the untrained eye, what's happening with their relationship, how they're relaxing around each other. But I think using the heart math measurements that we'll be able to show that. We'll be able to have some empirical data that really shows what's going on. And we've been working with HeartMath about the hardware and the things that we can use for the children that aren't going to be invasive. So
absolutely,
it'll be a little, I don't know. We're very excited about it. We're just finishing our training. So we've been through a training with a local HeartMath trainer to show us the work that she's been doing with horses. And in fact, this last week, we just brought a new horse onto the property and into the program that we think is going to be perfect for the work that we want to be doing. So I think we'll probably start with a pilot group of children this summer and start collecting data. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, because how do you measure empathy gained, right? X amount of empathy has been gained in an interaction. However, you can measure heart rate variability, which is what HeartMath is all about. And the heart rate variability is actually a wonderful clue to what's happening in an individual's nervous system. And so the coherence that you're talking about is the balance in a person's nervous system, which can show you how at ease an individual is. And if you're doing that with both the children and the animals, I just think that's just the most beautiful combination, especially if you're showing increased coherence and ease in both of the beings. I just think that's wonderful.
Yes, and I one of the other things, our kids are often, they often feel powerless. And I think when we start showing them that they have the power to sort of control what's going on physiologically,
Inside them.
I mean, this is a huge leap for our program, because we haven't talked about that with our kids before. And as we start looking at the whole heart math program, we're realizing that it might have been a disservice not to be showing the kids that, you are controlling like what's going on in your body. By, we always encourage them to be calm and respectful, and they can't chase animals and all of those things. But we haven't ever before had the opportunity to show them what it's doing for them. And so I think that they're going to feel very empowered knowing that they can have that control over what's going on inside their body. At least that's what we're hoping. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Just by learning to manage your own thoughts and your own breath, you can already affect so much of what's happening inside your body. And the other thing that HeartMath teaches is that you have kind of a field, your heart gives off a field of energy. And, you know, animals being so much more intuitive than people are, or at least they are more aware of their intuition than people are, I would imagine that is then a wonderful cycle. If the kids are more at ease, then the animals are going to be more at ease too, right?
Right. And I think that the exciting part for the kids to participate in the program will be the fact that we can do some measurements with the animals. Because our kids have been in the system for a long time. They've been in way too much therapy for, traditional therapy. Their whole life kind of revolves around all the bad things that have happened to them. And to just sort of add one more test or measurement to them could be really upsetting and frustrating to them. But to show them that we're going to show how what great things that are going on in their body are affecting the horse, I think is going to be very exciting for them. Yeah, they'll be more interested in helping. And then, of course, slowly they will gain that confidence as well to understand what's going on in their own body. But I think their first excitement will be just to know that they can have an impact on what's going on with the horse, which is the animals that we'll be using. We will be using horses at first, just to start with.
Mm-hmm. So in working with the group of animals that you work with and the group of children that you work with, it must be difficult sometimes. And I'm wondering, what keeps you inspired and what are the most rewarding parts of your work?
Well, one of the great things is that you can see changes in the kids when they're working with the animals instantly. Mm. So our kids come out to the program once a week, and they're brought out by staff, and we start out every group with an opening circle, and a lot of times that opening circle can look like a bunch of sulky teenagers, and you know, they're there for an hour, and within the first 15 or 20 minutes or whatever, there's a complete change, and everyone is, there's just a change. Everything, the energy changes, the kids get happy, the animals are happy to see the kids, and so that, in my position now, I don't get to work with as many groups because I'm running the organization, but I do always try and work with one group a week, because that does keep me inspired when I go out there and see that just the difference that happens from the time they arrive to when they leave. And that's just a 60-minute time frame, but these kids are in the program for years, and so I know that it has that great impact on them. I also hear a lot of feedback from their therapists and their teachers, and I don't know, animals have always been a really, really important part of my life. People keep asking me when I'm going to retire, and I keep telling them when I stop having fun. I mean, watching the interaction that's going on. There's a young woman who's in the program. She came in as an 8-year-old with a horrendous family story of abuse. It took 8 years, and I think it was 25 reports to CPS before she was finally removed from her home. And I've known her since she was 8. She's been in our program. She's kind of moved around from agency to agency, but because we serve so many of those agencies, I've managed to stay with her that whole time, and we have stayed connected. So she just had her 30th birthday. And a couple of years ago, she had said to me that she said, "You are the most important person in my life." And I only see her 2 or 3 times a year. And you know, it's something like that absolutely just says, you know, we're doing the right thing here. We are absolutely, we are making a difference in these kids' lives. These are kids that don't feel loved because the people that should have loved them betrayed them. And so to get them to a place where they feel loved and where they can give love, to me, is like getting them into a place where they stand a chance of having a happy adulthood.
Wow. And you're doing that for the animals, too, taking animals out of difficult situations. And that is, you're really changing the world. Child by animal by animal.
We're hoping to.
So here's a question that I'm asking every one of the people in this series is, in terms of animal welfare, what are some of the things that are giving you the most hope right now?
Well, we're in California, so there's a lot of awareness. We do a lot of work with factory-farmed hens, and so California is, you know, working to make life better for them. Certainly, the kids in our program, you know, the focus in our program is the animals, and it's teaching respect, and it's about being kind to animals and being kind to each other. But I think we live in a community where there's a lot more attention to animal welfare than there ever was. I've been in this field for a lot of years, and even in veterinary practice, which is where I was before I came here, we're seeing a change in how they treat animals and how they're using pain management. And again, you know, my focus has been on farm animals, and for years and years and years, farm animals never had pain management. And so now we're seeing that. So I see that life is getting better for animals, and that's really, really important to me.
Good. And there's a lot more work to be done, but it is moving in the right direction. We're starting to see animals as sentient beings, at least.
Yes. Yeah. And I just, you know, and again, but you know, going back to the farm animals, to be able to show that the farm animals are able to teach children things that they missed in their abusive homes is really amazing. And to look at, I think, as we expand human-animal bond programs, I think that people are beginning to see animals in a different light. You know, and our children in this program don't have a lot of say over their lives. A lot of them are living in group homes and different kinds of institutions. They can't make choices about food and clothing and some of those other things. And so we don't push a lot of our values. We don't push them about not eating meat or things like that. But what we try and show them is to respect every animal deserves to live, and to try and teach them that respect. We serve a snack for every kid that comes out here, but we never serve meat, and we let them know that. We don't, you know, again, they don't have control over their diets, but we work really hard at trying to show them that these animals should live. They deserve to live.
That's beautiful. Carol Rathman, thank you so much for your work and for your time. That was really lovely talking to you. And I also want to thank our listeners and encourage them to go to your website at forgetmenotfarm.org. You've been listening to Creating Sanctuary for Animals, and I'm your host, Yolanda Calderon, and I look forward to talking with you all again very soon. Bye-bye.